Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bad End episode 71, the now titled Animal Crossing special, because we're just going to talk about Animal Crossing. And to do that are the regular Bad End co-hosts, myself, Kyle Cookstell, and I'm joined as always by Josh Calixto
and
Katie McCarthy. I'm so glad, guys. I just want to they did it. They did it to us. Animal Crossing is out. We talked about it a little bit last episode, but it seems like all of us and the rest of the world are playing this game. And so I think we should just talk about this game for about as long as we can.
Yeah, I want to provide context for the listener of the future when we're a year down the road and we're looking back on when things went crazy and, you know, maybe things will be a little bit more normalized in the future. And then we'll be like, oh man, remember how crazy that was? But I feel like I want to start off with the context of Animal Crossing right now, because this is no longer just a game. This is a piece of history. And yeah. I mean that in the most like legit, straight up, profound, whatever way, because this is the game that dropped, you know, right after all this quarantine stuff began. COVID-19 has like basically taken the world hostage. We are confined to our homes. There's a lot of people playing video games right now. A lot of people looking for new things to do, new hobbies. I know a lot of people who are getting Nintendo Switches just to play this game because they have a bunch of friends who are playing it. And we don't get stuff like that right now. A lot of games are like, don't really want to launch. We're not getting, NBA's not playing. We're not getting new films because we're not going to go to the movie theaters to watch them. There are so many other avenues of entertainment that are no longer really an option to us. And it's very difficult to connect to the point where a game like Animal Crossing is kind of, it's coming along at a very appropriate time. And because of that, the sales have been through the roof. It's like already broken records. It's like
I think they said that it was the largest Switch release ever, and then maybe the largest Japanese launch in like history since 1985. It's like the game is doing stupid numbers, and that's just off physical. They're not even tracking digital yet, which is probably even higher considering all the places where you can actually buy games are closed.
Yeah, Switches are selling out as a result. And I want to talk about the game, obviously. We're going to talk about the game, but I also want to talk about why this game feels appropriate. Like, there's so many things about this game that I'm like, this is exactly what I fucking needed right now. Like, it feels like something that I need. And the first of which I would say is the day-to-day aspect of the game, of like waiting, doing a few things, and then coming back to it the next day, because I'm having trouble keeping track of what day it is. I'm like, is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? And this is like, oh, I just had a villager's birthday a couple days ago. And they were like, it's
oh, that's nice. Biff's, I haven't experienced that yet.
It's Biff's birthday. Yeah, it was like
big
March 27th big was his birthday. And I was like looking forward to that day because I was like, oh, there's going to be a little party or whatever. And there's like, it gives me something to look forward to the next day because I'm like, oh, my new bridge is going to be built. My new building is going to be moved or what have you. And we're kind of trying to keep this a little bit spoiler free. We should try to keep it a little bit spoiler free here. Just because I feel like that's part of the fun. But yeah, it gives me stuff to look forward to. There's like new people visiting my island. There's new stuff in the stores. And I revisit it kind of like every day, and it's like, it's something to do. You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely like a good routine game. And I feel like since I've always worked from home, so like technically this quarantine type thing is not that big of a lifestyle change for me. I think the biggest difference is that now I kind of relied on going out and like spending time with friends and family as making me feel like not super isolated and, you know, just, you know, staying in one room all day is like pretty depressing. And now that I can't do that, it's honestly like super duper rough. But luckily with Animal Crossing, it's like, I feel like I'm kind of going out and accomplishing things every day. You know, it's like, I could be like, oh, CJ's in town, so I'm going to go fish a lot and sell a bunch of fish to CJ. Or it could be like, oh, I want to like plant a bunch of flowers today to get like my town ranking up or whatever. And there's like kind of like small little goals I set for myself, but also the game sets for you with like Nook Miles, which is this new system that's new to New Horizons, where you have kind of like goals or like rotating like reward, and you get like a currency for it. And I found those to be rewarding in a way, because it just feels like, oh, I'm just doing what I do anyway, but now I'm getting stuff for it, more stuff than just like fruits from shaking a tree. Right. And I really like that aspect. I think that's like a really smart decision, because I think one of the big complaints I always heard from people that didn't click with Animal Crossing was like, oh, it seemed like aimless. It seemed like there was no goals. And New Horizons really sets goals for better or worse. Like there's some that's like, eh, but it does like really hold your hand a bit more, which I think is better, because I think a lot of you are coming to this game that don't play games that often. And I think it's like one of the beautiful things about Animal Crossing is it appeals to like adults and kids and teenagers and old, like elderly people. Like there's this like really cute viral TikTok going around of this grandma playing it. And she just like misses a fish and she's like, ah, shit.
I've seen that.
Such a great little TikTok. But it's like that. Like I could see my Nana enjoying this game. I could see my mom, my stepdad enjoying. My stepdad probably get really into like construction and stuff, because that's just the type of person he is. And it's like so easy to see like all people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, like all sorts of ages getting really into Animal Crossing. And we're seeing that right now because we don't have a fucking choice. Like there's nothing else we can do. So it's like, why not just play a bunch of Animal Crossing?
Yeah, to your point, Katie, about like I also work from home, and it's like I feel like I miss having the option to go out and do stuff, which I just don't anymore. And that feeling like that is not a part of your life, like having the option to go out and be on the town when you feel social and stuff like that, that's like a very strange feeling. But I also feel like Animal Crossing kind of counters that. And this is something that you could speak to now more, Katie, because the game is now online. People are actually playing, is that you could play with your friends. And like, whenever I turn on my Switch, it's like 14 people are online. I've added so many people's friend codes that I would never have before, that I have no reason to add before. And it feels like a more social gaming experience than I've had in a long time. Like League of Legends has been good for this for me, but Animal Crossing is in such a different way. You know, it's like it feels World of Warcraft ish in a way, where it's like you're kind of collaborating with other people, where it's like, oh, do you need this? It's like very selfless. When they're your friend, they're like, oh, do you need this? Do you want this? There's that like sense of exchange, that sense of like, I have this thing on my island, do you need this? The whole fruit exchange deal is a lot of fun for that. And I think that aspect of it is what is like bringing people together too. There are a lot of people who are getting like FOMO about Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
And
that's like one of the weirdest. I mentioned this on the Bad End Discord, small plug. But just that like actually to preface this, like I actually wasn't really thinking a lot about the stuff that you guys have brought up, which is really interesting, about basically Animal Crossing becoming the sort of surrogate for real life interaction, which I think is really interesting. But like a side part that's semi-related to that is the fact that to me, as someone who, I think you guys, both of you as well, have basically played Animal Crossing kind of since like the GameCube version, which was the first, you know, American release Nintendo one. And like, this is the first Animal Crossing I've seen that's like so visible online. I think like there was definitely stuff in New Leaf where there were like really popular tumblers that would share patterns and stuff. But like, even like at the time it was like, I mean, Twitter was around and like Facebook was still really big and like Tumblr was a thing, but like the sort of like, there was no place I would just ambiently scroll and just find randos like posting pictures of their houses. And it's like, it almost seems like the amount of selfies have gone down and the amount of like Animal Crossing selfies have gone up, where people are just like living inside of this game and treating it as their sort of like their real world that they're posting about online. So I think you're getting some of that. Like it's crazy just to see Animal Crossing everywhere. Like no matter where I look online now, everyone seems to be playing it. But to the point about FOMO too, like actually having it and like seeing people. I mean, Josh has like, have you posted a picture of your house on Twitter yet?
Yeah.
Oh, Josh has like a crazy ass room.
Yeah, Josh is like a fucking insane house. And I'm like, oh my God, like I have FOMO about that house. My house is a train wreck right now. But like seeing, but also seeing like other crazy shit people are doing, and like also finding out about just like, we mentioned that we're not going to talk about too many spoilers on this podcast, but I think just even there's fish have rarities, right? So some fish are easier to catch than others. And just like finding out about like rare fish that are in the game, or like, what the fuck? I didn't know that was in the game. What, you caught that thing? Like, that's even in the game right now. But also the other crazy part, like that I'll keep going on before Josh wants to say something, is that like, it's not like everyone is playing Animal Crossing and everyone started at like a different time. Everyone, I mean, obviously you can buy it later. That's, I'm not going to discount people who didn't buy it day one, but like, so many people bought it day one and were waiting for it, like, which is why it's, you know, a massive launch, that like, it's almost like the internet's like, I don't want to say menstrual cycle, but like, so there's some sort of like, everyone is synced. Everyone is totally synced online.
Yeah, where, man,
everyone
like is going through school, all the cycling together.
You can cut that out if you want to. I couldn't think of a good word, but it's
no,
like...
No, no. I mean, we got
I mean, that's like... I feel like that's a thing. That was a thing in high school with my friends. It's like a weird... I don't understand it. Is there science?
Yeah, there's
science
something.
It?
But it's like everyone basically started Animal Crossing at the same time. So everyone is unlocking all of the stuff at the same time, provided everyone is playing approximately the same amount. And there's only like so much really you can do in a day. Unless you just straight up start grinding or whatever. But like everyone is sort of discovering... Yeah, new stuff each day, and it's been really cool to like go online and be like, oh, all these random people I don't know also had this experience today, and it feels like you're living like a collective shared experience, kind of like Josh, you mentioned like World of Warcraft. Like it feels like the sort of weird like online game that everyone's sharing, but like we're not really, but we kind of are, because there is some sort of friend stuff. So I think for now in this moment, it's just like, it's so interesting.
Well, and I want to delve into what you were saying a little bit more earlier, which is there, I was thinking about this the other day of like the whole FOMO thing and routine thing, which is that, you know, we're creatures of habit as human beings. We like to do the same thing. We have a routine, and that kind of gives us a sense of structure in life, you know, things that we kind of do every day, things that, you know, just give us a sense of like time and character and consistency, stability, all that stuff. And, you know, think of how many people that for that is, for instance, the gym. Think of how many people, for instance, that is watching a basketball game or watching a film every Friday or, you know, whatever that thing is. There's so many senses in which that's taken away. Going out to eat at a restaurant, going out to a bar with your friends every week, you know, doing social gathering Thursdays or a book club, anything like that is taken away. And, you know, part of Animal Crossing that I think is difficult to accept in normal times, and one of the reasons why I think it falls off for a lot of people so easily, is like, you already have one set of daily routines. Like, why do you want to take on another one? Life is so crazy. There's so much shit going on at a time. Like, I have to slot my friends into like the 10, you know, the 3-hour window of free time I have in my week just to like talk with my friends or whatever. Why am I gonna let Animal Crossing be that 20-30 minutes a day for me that I need to dedicate to this game? And I think that's why it's difficult to keep up with, but one of the reasons why I think it is such a vital game right now is because it is all about those routines, and it kind of supplants those in a lot of people's lives right now in a way that like provides an artificial sense of stability, but in a lot of ways it's not, because like you're also showing that stuff off to your friends. Like you're also interacting with people online. You're also involving other real human beings in this process. And I think it's a really interesting look at this, you know, quote, virtual reality, not in the traditional sense of the word, but in a way that it, you know, it replaces the structure that like we are typically used to having in our lives, that I've really come around to in Animal Crossing. Not that, I mean, I love the other Animal Crossings. It's just after a certain point, you're like, I have so much shit to do every day. Like, yeah. How am I going to keep this up? I'm not going to grind the next 3 million bells to build a house or whatever, you know? Bells being the currency in Animal Crossing. Sorry. Yeah.
I feel like with this one, like, I stuck with New Leaf for probably a year, like, playing it almost every day, most days. And then I kind of I fell off. And I feel like I can see with New Horizons, there's almost like too much to do. Like, I can almost see myself kind of falling off maybe quicker. But, like, honestly, I'm so into it right now, and I don't see myself in anytime soon falling off of it. Like, it's like when I wake up in the morning, I play Animal Crossing. When I finish work for the day, I play a little more Animal Crossing, and then I watch some shows, and then I play more Animal Crossing. Like, that's like my new routine is just like, I have like 3 points a day where I play a bunch of Animal Crossing. And yeah, I'm already at like 140 hours or some crazy ass bullshit. It's like an insane amount. Which is crazy because when I look at Splatoon 2, like I put like, what, 200 something hours. I'm already approaching that with a game that's been out 3 weeks for me. 1 week.
It's also crazy that there's that much stuff in it. Like, I was not prepared with how much, like, I think this was, it's one of those things, like, when you show off Animal Crossing and like a trailer, it's like, oh, look, it's Animal Crossing. And like, that matters in a sense, but there's the game kind of trades on all these like small moments and interactions where, like, because they're designing the game for, like, you know, to be played for at least a year, like the presence of literally one character is like a huge deal, and not just like a villager, but like some other person, or like, oh, like, I don't know how much we want to spoil it. I mean, I guess like a week or two into play doesn't seem crazy. Like a week, I don't know. We could talk about customization, right? Like, that's
yeah, I think that's fine.
Like, you can just customize stuff you can build, and that's like a fucking huge thing that I don't think I saw anything about leading up to the game, because it's not like the sort of thing that like is would look really cool in a trailer, because it's mostly like UI stuff and it's kind of hard to tell. But they throw that system on you and you're like, wait, what? Like, you just, I thought I could only make these things, and now you're telling me that there's basically 7 variations of every item that has a specific style. That's like fucking huge for a game that is all about the stuff and the look. That's like, and there's so many of these little things that I keep finding where it would actually be really crazy to go back and play like the GameCube or even New Leaf or whatever, because you're like, whoa, these games feel empty. Like, they actually feel empty compared to how much stuff is in New Horizons.
I mean, customization was in New Leaf, but it was like, and it was in Happy Home Designer. It might have been actually just in Happy Home Designer.
I thought it was just pasting your designs on stuff, though. It was like, put your thing on this.
No, there was like definitely some customization of like colors and stuff, but I feel like here it's like at a way different level.
It's like definitely, way, yeah, it's definitely different
way
here.
More robust. And I think the crafting also helps with that, because like, it's mostly your crafting stuff that you can actually customize. And it just like, I don't know, it just feels super cool. Like, I crafted a iron skillet and you can like customize the food that's in it, and it can just be burnt
what?
Stuff, which is like a fun thing. And there's like a bunch of stuff was like, it's not just colors. It's like, it's other fun stuff too. And another thing recently that I discovered, I just found out through Twitter, like, and I'm 3 weeks deep into the game because I started playing 2 weeks before launch because I reviewed it, is that the items you get in like the Nook Miles shop or whatever, the little ATM thing, they're all, yeah, the colors are customized per person. Everyone has like a random different color scheme. Like, you can't customize it yourself, but other players will have like a red snack machine or like,
oh, whoa,
or like a black teacup ride. So it's like, that's like a crazy thing, because I just assume this is the same for everyone. And someone, I had visited someone, I was like, how the hell do you have like a pink drink machine? And they're like, that's just like the one in my shop. And they didn't know I had a black one, because I have a black snack machine and drink machine, which is nice because I like having a uniform thing. But I kind of want like a red like drink like vending machine. Like, that'll be fun. But yeah, so that's like a cool thing. So now people on Twitter are like posting like, oh, here's what I have, here's what I got. And people are like doing trades and stuff that way, which I want to coordinate with my friends, because that would be cool. But yeah, everyone has like customized colors in that sense. Like, there's even like a purple, like Breath has a purple Godzilla. Like, I have a black one. Like, what is going
oh,
on?
Oh, did you
here?
See the, I don't know if this is like a timed exclusive thing, but I didn't have enough money for it, but there's an Animal Crossing New Leaf Switch in the game. Have you seen this?
Really?
Oh yeah, dude. So on this, I want to say it was the first or second day I was playing. It was like,
wait, a New Horizons or a New Leaf Switch?
Oh, sorry. It's a New Horizons Switch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that around.
Yeah, so you can, like, there's like a Nintendo Switch, but there's actually like a branded New Horizons. It's literally the New Horizons Switch is in the game.
I want it so bad.
Are you?
I've seen it pop up on.
It was in Nook Shopping one day, but it was
Nook
like
Shop, yeah.
It was like 60 or 70,000 bells, and I was on like day two, and I was like, well, I can't really get that.
That's insane.
I have not seen that. I haven't seen it in my shop yet, but I've seen it around, and I want it.
Wow. I also want to talk about I don't want to say the elephant in the room, because it's not strictly
it's
a
not
bad
a real
thing.
Village
it's not
elephant.
Strictly a bad thing. Ellie, there's that character, Ellie, I think her name is. She's like actually an elephant. But the game, we talk about this a lot on the show, which is like whether a game respects your time or not.
Oh my God.
And this game almost at some time seems to disrespect my time.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It's like
proactively.
It's like, fuck you, fuck your time. This game doesn't care. Like, this is a game about being slow and like not being fast. And there's this bait system. And
or like
this
there's this
spoiler.
Crafting system.
Yeah, there's this crafting system in the game where it's essentially, I think it shows especially in the bait system because of the way that bait
yeah.
works, which is that there's these little like things that squirt out of the water on the beach. And that means there's like a clam in there. And when you dig up these clams, and it's called a manila clam, and then you can craft one clam into one bait, which allows you to fish. And it makes it easier for you to catch fish, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the thing is, every manila clam takes up one slot in your inventory. You can't stack them the way that other items stack, which already sucks, for the record, because that means that once you run out of inventory spaces, that's it. Like, you just need to take that back and then craft those into the baits. But then when you go back to your house and craft, you can't just say like, okay, I want to craft a bait. How many do you want to craft? 20. And then it crafts 20 baits for you. You have to go to the menu, open it up, click craft on the bait. It shows a crafting animation, and then it's like, what do you want to do now? Craft more or stop crafting? You have to click craft more. You have to select the bait again, watch the animation again. And if you have 20 baits.
I have a pro tip. If you press A while crafting or customizing, it goes by much faster.
But it's still like,
it's still really slow.
It's still annoying, so bad. But it's still
like,
much faster.
I put on a YouTube video when I'm about to craft all my baits so that I'm just sitting there literally just pressing A for about
it
3
is nice.
Minutes.
You can't just like press A on the same thing. Like, all the menu things are such that if you just keep pressing A, like, you'll just keep making the same thing over and over. But it's like,
it's still
so annoying.
Pretty much unacceptable. Honestly,
yeah, like, I just wish it was batch crafting. Like, that's just, it would just be so
that's
easy.
I feel like that would not ruin the spirit of the game to do batch crafting. I don't see the problem with it. Maybe it'll come in a later patch. But yeah, it's annoying.
Bunny Day tomorrow. Who knows?
Oh shit, Bunny Day tomorrow.
What's Bunny Day? It's like
it's the first
holiday?
Event.
It's like their Easter thing.
Oh, whoa.
Starts tomorrow. All the non-fruit trees in your town will turn to cherry blossom trees.
Hey.
It's very exciting.
And okay, so because of that, there's a lot of ways in which the game, quote, doesn't respect your time. A lot of them are part of the spirit of the game, that routine that I was talking about. For instance, when you want to build a building, it takes a day to build it, a day in real time. Like, you start building it, and it will not be built until you wake up the next day. So the game has a very, like, day-to-day pace. And that's, you know, that's part of the spirit of the game. And I think, you know, I feel like they had to have been like, oh, should we make batch crafting? And then someone was like, yeah. And then someone was like, no. And then they just didn't do it. You know, like,
well,
that
there's
was a
like
decision.
Stuff in the game. Yeah, there's like stuff in the game too that like is batched that hasn't been batched before. Or I don't remember, like, being able to sell stuff batched is like, that might have been in New Leaf, but It used to be that you just saw one item at a time.
I think Fossils is the new one. Like you don't
Fossils
have to,
is the new batch
thing. Because Fossils, you don't have to do one at a time, which is so fucking great.
But you still have to go, you still have to do two dialogues where you have to get them assessed, listen to blathers, and then say donate, and then say.
You leave that choice in case you want to keep them. Like, I get why they do it, but like, sometimes I'm like, come on, man, just take them off my hands.
Yeah, like, let's be real, I'm here. I'm at the museum.
I mean, it's interesting, Josh, like you're saying, like, it's definitely not a thing that they're like not doing out of like ignorance of knowing that it should be a thing. But I think that because the game is like so much about taking time, like they're definitely making a cognizant decision to say like, you shouldn't be able to craft a lot of stuff at once.
It feels like it has a thing that a lot of Western games don't have, which is one of the things that people praise Dark Souls or the Souls series about, which is that it knows how it wants you to play the game, and it puts in mechanics that sometimes feel bad, that just to back up the way that they want you or expect you to play this game. Right. And so, for instance, the fact that if you want to pluck plants that you don't want in your island, some would call them weeds. Or if you want to pick up anything off the ground, you have to go up to them, you know, press Y, and then do it again. And it's like, I'll just chop a bunch of wood down from a bunch of trees and just walk around clicking Y or pressing Y for like 5 minutes. And that's just part of it. And the bait thing is constructed that same way, where it's like, okay, we want you to have like one task that you do per day. You do the game, you do that, and then you stop. You know, where it's like, so that you pace yourself. They're putting these things in so that you will pace yourself. But when you're in a quarantine, you just want to fucking do it. Like, you just want to, like, I have all these chores that I want to do. I have all these things that I want to do.
Bridges built.
Exactly. So just let me do it. But then we come to the concept of time traveling, which is where you switch up the time on your Nintendo Switch to make it think that you're on, you know, the next day. And then Animal Crossing will
go to that. If you're a fucking fascist.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're a fucking cheater.
It's like, it's very lucrative and very tempting.
Katie wrote an article on it. What'd you call someone? You called someone
ghouls.
Oh, ghoul. Yeah, you're like, don't cheat Animal Crossing, you ghouls.
Don't cheat.
Far be it from me.
You can farm for tarantulas. I do it. That's fine. That's more like exploiting a system. It's not like actively moving forward time in the fucking game. In a game that's meant to progress day by day. I visited a family member's town and they had like fucking like all their bugs and stuff in their museum was like, oh, I caught this on like April 2nd. It's like, no, you didn't, you fucking bitch. You sped up time. You cheated. They have a bigger house than me and I reviewed the game. It's like, they have a bait. It's just like, ugh, it makes me so mad. I'm like, like, where's the fun in that?
Oh my God, my sister... In Animal Crossing on GameCube again, there was a, I don't know if you remember this, but it kind of had that thing that like, I mean, that's a worse reference. But basically like you could enter a code to Tom Nook and he would give you an item. So the idea was that if you wanted to send your friend an item, they would generate a code for it. And then you could enter that code and get that item. And like what people found out was that the game just uses like a fixed set of codes. So it's not like it generates a new code. And then, so like my sister found the code that gives you like 30,000 bells. And so she would just go to Nook every day and just ask, like, summon 30,000 bells.
Okay. This brings up another couple points. I've been thinking about this game a lot.
Our brains are on Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
Josh is planting an orchard, I saw.
Oh, I planted one and I harvested it yesterday and I got like 60,000 bells from my
Hell
orchard.
Hell yeah. Ooh.
And that's going to come like every couple days. So it's...
Do you know about money trees?
Yes, I do. I'm aware.
So, okay, money trees are an annoying thing. So I got pissed off this morning.
Hold on, I want to hear Josh's point before. So let me talk about money trees. Okay. I have other stuff I want to talk about money trees.
Oh God, what was it?
Oh no.
Oh, okay. No. I got it. What's funny is I can see why people would want to time travel. And there are probably people listening to this podcast who time travel, who feel very defensive right now. I apologize for Katie's firm stance on this, but we are three hosts. I get it. I thought about it, like, not seriously, but I was like, you know what? It feels against the spirit of the game. But put yourself in the shoes of someone who gets this game a week after their friends. And they're like, oh, my friends have all this stuff. I want to be like where they are in the game. Would that be? I mean, I feel like there are cases in which breaking the game is not necessarily against the spirit of the game per se. And you know what? If you want to time travel, it's whatever. Like, I'm going to play it my way. You can play it your way. There's nothing that we can do as a bad end trio to stop you. But
I'll not like you.
I will also say, Katie, that there is and I know that you do this, which is that with a game like this, it doesn't feel out of the realm of decency to like cheese it with something that is like allowed within the system. And that brings me to the Tarantula Island exploit, which is where you go to a deserted island. You essentially create the conditions under which tarantulas appear on the island, and tarantulas are very valuable insects that you can catch. And when you catch one, you could go back and sell it, and you could just go to an island, create the conditions, and then catch a bunch of tarantulas, fill up your entire inventory, and sell it for like a massive amount of money. And that is essentially breaking the game. But
I'm making that money
because the game allows it. And this is like that weird video game, like a thing in your head, like your own rule set, your head canon of like how this game should work. It doesn't feel that gross to me because, you know, I would just be grinding more bells anyway, but it is speeding up the process of like earning bells for you and stuff like that. So is, you know, maybe time traveling is just an extension of that in a way, even though the game firmly does not want you to time travel. Whereas the tarantula thing is like in the game, it's still within the game's world because of the way that the systems work. It doesn't feel like you're breaking it, et cetera. But it's just a funny little line that we draw.
I don't think it's as bad as time traveling. I will say I don't do it because I just don't. I like experiencing the game at sort of its own pace, but it's like there's still like a local maximum for anything you could do with bells on a given day. So like you could have like 2 billion bells, and like it's not like you can do more necessarily on one day. Like there's still a small set of actions that you can probably put bells to as like projects, and you'll like max out of those. It's not like, oh, like even if you pay off your house loan in a single day from a tarantula island, it's still going to take you a day to build your house, and then it will take you a day to do the next thing. It'll just make it easier to do those following things because it's not like, it's not like a thing that speeds up time or anything. So
yeah,
I don't see it as like, it's the same way like I put in about 200,000 bells into turnips, and I'm like pooling with my friends about turnip prices to try to like get 400,000 bells from turnips or something. And so like, I don't view that as cheating.
It's the same,
I view it as like playing.
It's the same reason.
But it's like in the same area.
Yeah. It's the same reason why you cheese every boss possible in Dark Souls. Like in Dark Souls 2, when you just hold up your shield and then like strafe around them, and when they hit, you like get in a couple strikes and then keep strafing around the right, that type of thing.
Or you just like summon a bunch of companions. You're like, all right, fuck
you. You're like, the game lets me do this. Fuck you. I'm like, you're not fair to me. I'm not going to be fair to you. This is in the rules. You know, it's okay. That's that's what I got to say about that, which is just like a funny thing that I've encountered. But let's talk. What were we on? Okay. Oh, money trees.
Wait, can I preface this with something before we talk about money trees?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about money trees because it's a subset of this. But like one thing that's been interesting for me playing Animal Crossing now, and I played New Leaf. I mostly skipped City Folk. So it's been like a while since I've really got into a new Animal Crossing game. And what's been like really surprising to me is like sort of recalling all of the tribal knowledge of Animal Crossing and not really realizing that that was a thing. And it reminds me a lot of like people who play Monster Hunter and talk about like, you know, some people who play Monster Hunter know exactly how long to like rotate the meat on the little spit so it like cooks perfectly. And they just know that in their head because the timing has been the same like forever and that's not changing. And Animal Crossing is sort of similar where like I just do things out of like momentum for how I remember that them supposed to be working. And so I'm like in watching like my wife play, who's never played Animal Crossing before, or like watching the internet do stuff my that wife. Challenges my own that like challenges my own assumptions about like what you can do in the game. I'm like, oh, like speaking of money trees, like I was still only planting 30,000 bells in golden holes because in the GameCube version, the max amount of bells you could have as a single object was 30,000 bells. So you planted 30,000 bells and it gave you 30,000 bells. I found out today that you could actually plant 99,000 bell trees into golden holes. And I was like, oh shit. Like I was just doing this thing. Like I'm also like, I was trying to bury some tools in golden holes to see about if I get golden tools. I also knew about some other stuff. And it's like, it's been weird to like excavate all this knowledge I have about this game and not realize that it's stuff that I just assumed about how it's supposed to work. And then watching how the game either like panders to that or like, you know, doesn't pay homage to it or like actually allows you to work off that, like all of it's like even just knowing like where to throw a fishing thing to get a fish to catch it like pretty immediately, it's like all this sort of stuff.
So I think I lost money actually with the money tree. So I did play one money tree with 99k and I got three bags and 99,000 bells and it felt very good. But then like today a money tree sprouted that I'm like 99% sure I planted it with 99,000 and it only had like 10K bell bags. So I've seen this on like on social media of people like posting about this discrepancy. Like, I don't know if the game's like, if it's like a glitch when it actually sprouts the 99,000 bell bags or if it's just like up to chance that I just lost a bunch of money. Like, I don't know like how right. It works, but that was very frustrating this morning when I was like, what? Like, I thought I was going to be rich. What's happening now?
Yeah, I heard like the max you can safely plant is like 30K or something like that.
Yeah. So I planted another 99K this morning. And I'm just like,
just crossing your fingers.
I just want to other make shit, a lot of
like,
money.
I remember like other stuff like fucking like never. I wasn't sure at the start of the game if when you planted a tree, it would grow always to the max. But I was like, oh, one thing I do know, which is like my Animal Crossing tip is like, oh, if you chop down a pre-existing tree and then dig up the stump and bury a thing there, it will always grow up. It's not like the trees don't re-roll when you dig a new tree. So if you want to make sure something grows, you put it in the hole of a new tree. Also, like I had the tip about like digging.
Wait, stop.
Okay.
Tips. Bad M
tips.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing tips.
Tip section.
So this is like some true tips. This is like, these are really
tips.
We're
now a guides podcast.
Yeah, these are some serious tips. So there was like the tip about, basically digging a grid of holes behind you when you're smashing a rock so you dig the rock. And then I was like, oh, well, you can just dig one hole, but it sort of moved. The one I saw on Twitter that fucking trumps my tip is the one where you dig, you basically dig two holes on a corner. Like if you draw like a grid around the rock you draw two holes in like the, not in the corner tile, but the one like basically one away and one down. I don't know how to describe this. It's way easier to show you. But basically, you can then jump over the two holes, and it perfectly aligns you with the rock, and it allows you to spawn all the things around the rock. And I didn't know about that because you can jump over holes as a thing, which I'm still not used to being able to do. So before, you weren't able to jump over holes, so it would have just been the same thing. And I was like, oh, shit, that's a fucking tip.
I got some tips.
All right, folks. Oh, man, I'm ready for these
tips. Well, first
of
all, let's explain the money tree, which is that every day on your island, a little gold spot on the floor shows up. When you dig that out, a money bag comes out, and the floor is still, the hole that you dug is still gold. If you
plebs will just cover it up.
If I did that the first couple days,
or don't plant the 1,000 bell bag.
The tip is, you're gonna get money from your inventory, and then replant it in that hole while it's still gold, and then in a couple days it'll grow into a tree of money that when you shake it triples the amount of money that you put in. So that's a little tip. More tips.
It only sprouts once.
This is a pro tip that I got for you guys. I used to do the hole digging strat for when you hit the stone. Because when you hit a stone, there's a recoil. It shoots you back from the rock a little bit. And if you go back too far, you'll swing at the rock and miss, which is a problem because there's a timer on the rock where if you don't hit it a certain amount of times, you won't get the full amount of resources from the rock, which is a bad thing because the rock only gives you resources once per day, which means you're not maximizing your odds of getting gold nuggets. You're not maximizing your odds of getting the most out of the rock as possible. Anyway, what people have been doing is digging holes behind themselves so that when they hit the rock, they don't take the recoil and they can just hit it consistently until it's given all it's got to give. My pro tip, and this is just for the brave gamers out there who want to save, 10 seconds on digging two holes, is that you can take a step forward, hit, take a step forward, and you can still get the same amount of rocks out of it. It's unsafe because if you don't do it right, you'll miss the rock anyway.
Yeah, you got to be like really dead on.
Yeah, you really got to do it. That's a little like pro tip, like actual professional Animal Crossing player tip. I've messed it up a couple times and I'm like, what if that was a gold nugget that I missed, bro? And that sucks. But
that's like some wave dashing shit. Like that's like you look at that and you're like, oh yeah, obviously you could do that if you were a fucking masochist.
Yeah.
And you could just walk up to the rock and hit it.
I mean,
nine times.
It's more
perfectly.
That I'm lazy and I have a lot of iron nuggets and I don't care if I miss one that much.
Yeah.
But the other thing, and this is a real pro tip, which is one of the best things to do on your island is to shake trees, because sometimes money will come out, furniture will come out once per day. On every deserted island, there will be one tree that has a piece of furniture that falls down. So
that's a tip.
So
I didn't
know
that.
That's a thing. But the problem with shaking trees is that sometimes wasp nests will come out of the trees. The wasps will sting you. And if it happens twice, you have to go, you like respawn and you have to like go back to the tree. And it's just a whole process because the game is slow with everything. But there is a way to shake the tree. So what you want to do is you want to get out your net. Okay. You want to stand in front of the tree, like diagonally at like a 45 degree angle from the bottom base of the tree, and then when you shake the tree, if a wasp nest comes out, your character will turn to the left, look directly at the wasp nest, and then all you do is press A and you will catch the wasps like that.
Oh,
immediately.
Oh,
so you don't have to like chase it around, you don't have to worry about like running away and trying to turn around perfectly such that you catch the wasp, because that doesn't really work anyway. But I was able to catch five wasps in a row today, which you should try for yourself. I'm just going to say that. Try to catch five in a row. All right. And the good thing about that, too, is that wasps are worth a lot of money. So,
really?
Yeah. They're worth a good amount of bells. So, you want to do that.
How many bells are we talking?
It's like a rare insect. So,
tarantulas are like
five or 6,000. four or 5K or something like that. It's like a good amount. Maybe three or something, but it's like a significant amount of bells. You want to catch wasps and then sell them if you can. The other thing, if you're on a deserted island, there are tarantula islands, right? I mean, maybe this is sort of spoiler. So you know, skip ahead a couple minutes if you want to skip this one, but it's not really a spoiler. You know what? There are rare islands that have like rare resources. There are also big fish islands that only spawn big fish. And you might have gotten one of these already, but you just didn't know. So it happened to me before, because I remember like one time I caught a bunch of rare fish and I was like, what the heck? How come I'm like, this is crazy. I'm catching all these rare fish. But when it's overcast or raining, fish come out more. All right. So you want to use that to your advantage. If you're on an island where it's like raining or overcast, you might have a big fish island. So go take a look around. If you see a bunch of like big fish silhouettes, you got a big fish island probably. I don't think it's like think it's like that rare, but you catch better fish like on the pier, for instance. And you could do something a little funny here, which is that if you're seeing like silhouettes of fish that you don't want, you can chase them away on the shore, right? You can run up to them and they swim away. But if you do that to all the fish on like one side of the island, if they're not the size that you want, you can make fish on the other side of the island respawn that way. So then you can go over there and check if they have like the size silhouette of fish that you're looking for. So if you're looking to only catch like a really, really rare fish, you can like despawn all the ones that you don't like on one side, go to the other one and check. Some fish only spawn on the pier. So if you're on a small island, you could just make run around, do a lap around the island, despawn all the other fish, and then one will appear at the pier, which essentially negates the need for bait if you're in a pinch, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing a lot of fishing in this game, if you can't tell. Yesterday I caught like just a shit ton of rare fish. Like my whole inventory was rare fish, and which was cool because the a certain visitor was on my island that likes fish, and I was able to
I
was able to sell those at a high price, higher price than normal.
I think I already mentioned this character earlier.
I missed it.
Spoiler.
And I have another character who works in a similar fashion that is going to be really relevant when I'm doing my tarantula run tonight. Let's just put it that way. All right, folks.
You're like playing it for it. You're like rubbing your hands. Yes. You're like, this is how.
Yeah. Well, like last night I did I was like, I'm gonna do a tarantula run. I'm gonna go do it.
100%.
Yeah. There's also, because it takes a while, not as crazy long time, but it takes like a bit,
like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah.
Like you gotta set aside.
But honestly, it's worth it. You make
it's so worth it. You come back, you just drop all
your inventory looks so
like,
scary. Yes. It's like, oh God.
And you see like the money bags in your inventory of like 99, 99, 99 of all the bells stacked in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it feels so good. Another tip, and this is more of something I had to learn the hard way, but you cannot move residential services. Okay. So
Good to know.
So when you choose your island, make sure your resident services is in a place where you're going to be okay with it being. Because that sucks. And I had to find out the hard way. I had planned my whole town around being able to move resident services, and then you couldn't. So fuck you.
I'm still
Tom
like getting
Nook.
Used to the fact that you can move all kinds of shit in the game. I'm just like not expecting. I was not expecting to be able to do that. So I was like, oh, I'm going to put it over here. It's good.
Yeah, I just moved my house. Like, I just moved my house to a cliffside. Very
excited.
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
It's, like, now pretty pimp. I have this huge yard.
Pimp.
Because when I built it, I put my tent next to, like, a beachside.
I haven't heard someone say pimp since, like, 06.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it back.
I feel like I just lost the game, too. Damn.
Yeah, and when I first built my house, I put it next to a fucking beachside because I was like, I'm gonna have a beachside residence. And I got bored of that real quick, so I was like, I want both sides. I want to like put flowers everywhere. I want to have like a nice, put like a barbecue area in my backyard. But now I'm like, I have this whole plan, and I'm very excited. My town's gonna look so cool.
I was like, I was not expecting how down I would be with putting shit outside.
Yeah.
Like when I saw that in the trailers, I was like, that's fucking stupid. I don't want to do that. It's trashy. No, and I'm like, I got a fucking redneck bungalow outside of my house.
That's what
I got like a power generator. I got an ice shaver and I got like a beer.
An ice shaver?
That's
sick.
Red couch. Yeah. And it's like, I don't, it's stupid, but I was not expecting to like it as much as I have been of just dumping random shit.
It's so
and
fun.
And also, it's nice visiting people's islands because it's like, oh, what like trash dump does your island look like? And it's like, oh, my island looks fucking crazy. And you're like, whoa, that's cool. It's not just like, go to your house, check it out. It's like everyone's island can have like so much character.
An identity. Yeah. It's definitely feel, and especially like with things you unlock later on where you can like change way more, like the actual landscape of it and everything. And which they revealed in trailers. That's not a spoiler. So it's like, you can literally like change the paths of like rivers and stuff, and there's like some stuff that's like pretty stagnant and like resident services, you can't move like where the river mouths are, like where it flows to the ocean, which kind of sucks because it's like that really determines. So if you're picking it up late and choosing an island, make sure you're happy with where the river turns to the ocean, I guess. But yeah, you can pretty much change anything else. Like, you can move anyone's house, you can move any shop, you move your own house, and it like costs money to do that. But it just, and I wish it was instant. It is like a thing where it's like, oh, you have to wait till the morning, which is kind of a bummer.
And you can only like do one per night. Day.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Like right now I'm super overhauling my town. It's going to take so long. So it's like, I have to move all the houses. I have to move like a bunch of shops. I have to do a bunch of terraforming, and I'm like, it's gonna take me. It's gonna take me a bit.
I want to get it's a big some task. Of those construction fun. Signs from the Nook Miles shop, so that people know when they come that it's like, this is under, it's a WIP. All right, like,
yeah,
we're still doing this.
So you gotta just make that pattern and paste custom- it on your ground. Everyone apparently has different construction sign type looking things. Like mine has Rossetti on it. Apparently, not everybody has that.
What?
Yeah.
Dude,
like
Braith
was like
crazy.
So pissed off. He's like, how do you have Rossetti on your sign? I'm like, I was just in my shop. Like, it's like so crazy. I want to get all these construction signs because they all look cool and cute. I like the look of them. And I have a bunch of cones that I've just gotten from balloons over time. I have a lot of traffic cones.
One thing about this game, and we usually don't care about spoilers that much on this podcast, but I feel like one of the great joys in this game is going to a friend's island or getting something that you kind of, you put in your world and you're like, this is so cool. My friends are going to come over. They're going to see this thing and they're going to be like, where did you get that? Like, that is
where
so
did I
dope.
Do that?
That's what happened to me when I got that cityscape wall that I have in my room.
Yeah.
I just randomly got that and I put it in my room. I was like, this is going to be the centerpiece of my house. And everyone loves my fucking house as a result, because, or at least my main bedroom. My other bedrooms suck right now. I need to put some time into that. I'll probably do that over the next couple of days. But like, I also want to theme each room, but I don't feel like I have enough items to like create, make the theme whole again. And I just so happened that I got this like really cool, like, bachelor apartment-y set of furniture.
It's like the most Josh Calixto.
Dude, it's like so... If I had my place look like that, like in real life, I would be a happy man. Just like album covers on the wall. There's like a really nice rug. I got some nice rugs that I put in there.
Oh, I have some really nice rugs. Yeah. Like, I've bought so many good ones and found them from balloons and shit.
I did some like interior design shit with like, you know, using circular rugs to create a sense of space in a certain area of the room, using square rugs and patterns, using artwork, you know, all that stuff, you know, using some fish tanks and clocks. And it's like, man, it came out and it's like, I was like, man, maybe I can create a space, you know.
I'm looking at your house right now on Twitter and I love it. It's like, it looks really cool. And then over in the corner, there's just like a fucking water cooler.
I like the water cooler. I like it because it feels more homey.
Can you imagine walking into someone's apartment show and find just a water cooler,
dude,
like next to their
it's
door?
It's bachelory, man. Well, the umbrella stand is, dude, that umbrella stand though.
I want an umbrella
stand. The umbrella stand
looks
dope.
Yeah. It's
wait, can you put your own umbrellas in there?
No, you can't. It's not functional. And then I like customize the clock to like a colorway that fit. There's like, I got a little like moss ball thing that looks so dope.
Yeah, I have a moss clock. Ball randomly thing.
And it fits together. I got these iron lamps, which is like one of the first recipes you get in the game, but like I customized them to black and they just look so dope. Highlighting. You can like mess with lighting in this game, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, yeah, you can set like mood lighting.
There's floor lamps.
I always have like the warm set. Yeah.
That come out of the floor. Like they're inside the floor and the light shines upwards.
What?
Yeah. It's so cool. But I mean, that's one thing I like about this game is that, you know, going to someone's place, being like, where did you get these? How did you do this? Or seeing something that you have used in a way that's like really awesome. And you're like, damn, I didn't even think about implementing this piece of furniture in this way, or like customizing it such that it would look this way in my room. And it's like really cool because you're like exchanging ideas, you're getting new creative inspiration. And I love that aspect about this game. And I think one of my concerns is that I'm going to see it all, you know, that I'm going to, oh, I've seen this object elsewhere, blah, blah, blah. Some of like the really cool, like marquee items that they have in this game are like, I feel like there's not that many of them, you know, like the Godzilla or the robot or whatever. And then it's like, once you see those
that robot,
it's like,
I want it.
When you see those things, it's like, well, what are you going to do now? And
this is something, can we talk about, is your point done?
I want expansion. I want expansion things.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what I'm thinking is like, this game is so expandable. Like it's impossibly expandable. And also I wanted to, we probably got like 30 minutes left or so, but I wanted to talk about like, kind of like how, like sort of like weird predictions for this stuff. And I think related to Josh, what you're saying, they've like developed this sort of model via the island system that I think is going to like blow our minds. So one of my theories is that they're going to release basically DLC islands that you go visit that are prefab towns. So I'm imagining like going to literally visit Hyrule, and they like built fucking like Animal Crossing style Hyrule that you go and visit, and there's like little elf villagers, and there's like all sorts of like Zelda shit that you can go and bring
recipes.
Back and then like, yeah, just like all this stuff, because I'm just like, they're already kind of doing it too with like the guy that does like the photo salon. There's like a dedicated
Bud?
Island
Is
for him.
Harv.
Yeah. And it's like Harv. But he's not someone who's just in your town, and he's not someone that's a random visitor, but he has a dedicated island that you go to for a specific purpose that he also like has its own unique assets. Like Harv's island and some of the ways the furniture outside of his house are like not done in a way that you could do inside the game itself. It's much more like something unique, like the plaza or like what the Able Sisters look like kind of, and then some. So I'm like, they're totally going to do some like crazy shit with like expansions of like, I mean, even just if you look at New Leaf, or not New Leaf, like Pocket Camp, like they put new shit out for Pocket Camp all the time. And then one of the designers of New Horizons said that they wanted to bring some of the Pocket Camp ethos to this game, specifically to appeal to people who'd only played Pocket Camp. So like, there's got to be new shit just like cranking out for
Animal
sure.
Animal Crossing X Muji. Let's do it.
Yes, that's got to happen.
That would be
man.
Sick. Oh, man. Well, like in past Animal Crossing, specifically, I think it's Star and City Folks. That was the first one. I think it was like real online connection. Maybe the DS one did. I didn't play that one. But like they would put in like some like random Nintendo related items. I remember there's definitely like a Mario hat at some point. Like there's just like stuff like that, like just random Nintendo related gear. And I could see them doing that like times like 10 for New Horizons. Like they have already said they're doing now, like instead of just holiday themed event things, like where you just time travel and get to a holiday event, like this Bunny Day thing I think is gonna be an update tomorrow that we'll have access to.
Yeah, it's like an actual patch.
So it's like, whoa. Since these events will be patched in, they'll be like in ongoing development, so it's like there could be like random fun ones, like, oh, here's a Nintendo game coming out, so we're having this little event for this game.
Oh my god!
You know, like,
oh, it sounds so cool,
right? And it's like I can see them doing like more fun stuff like that. Like, hey, we're like celebrating this thing we're doing, or hey, we're celebrating the start of summer, or like, you know, like more than just a seasonal. Oh, now the trees look different and really pretty, which is very exciting. Like, I want to see like a more ongoing live service like Animal Crossing. I think that's the direction they should go with it, because it's already had,
and
it's kind of
so
like was a proto live service almost, you know, and it's like now it's
and
going to be actively that
inherently it's like such a much better model than Pocket Camp, you know.
Oh yeah,
because it's like
so much.
Pocket Camp's so annoying to play.
Mobile transaction stuff. Like I'm glad I get to pay my $60, and then if I want to buy expansions or whatever, I can do that on top of it. Mm-hmm. Like, would much rather deal with that. And the game just feels way more whole. You know, like being able to import specific designs. Like the fact that I was able to import, like these album covers for like albums that I really like. And then put them on my wall. Like, that's just such a cool little touch that you can do in this game. And I know it's been in like a past Animal Crossing game before, but like, that's just such a cool thing. And another thing is the villagers in this game. I have some of my favorite villagers, and I bought some amiibos for so that I can like choose to bring villagers onto my island that like are cool. Cause I have this one islander, her name's Carmen. She is like the most precious thing. Everyone who comes, I'm like, you gotta talk to Carmen. Go talk to Carmen. She's the best. And I just like talking to her. I'm trying not to like talk to her too much, because like I'm like, I don't want to exhaust her dialogue options that fast. But everything she says is just like, she's like nice, she's cute, she's funny, she has these like ambitions to be an influencer basically. But she's talking to me the other day, she was talking to me about, she was like, what kind of stuff do you like? And one of the options was anime. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to choose anime. And she's talking to me about like this like fictional anime that exists in like the Animal Crossing universe. And then the other day she asked me like, oh, I really like reading comics, but I know she means manga. Like, that's probably like, you know, what the translation is, because she's saying like, oh, do you like romance? Do you like everyday life, which is like slice of life, basically all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I'm talking to this video game character about freaking manga and anime, and it's just like the best. And she's trying to be basically like an e-girl. Like, she's the greatest. And I love like giving thoughtful gifts to my villagers. Like when I get a piece of furniture, I'm like, oh, dude, this guy would like this. I have this gorilla who's like really fucking, he's kind of a weirdo. But at first I thought he was going to be like a jock character. But now he's just like, he's weird, man. He's a weird guy. And I love that about him. Like, he kind of learned more. Yesterday he gave me this whole like spiel about like this meta spiel about how like, what if we're just in a video game? And then he's like, he was like, isn't it? I mean, just think about it. Like, Tom Nook is just so weird, man. He's like, yeah. Oh, here's the line. He says, yeah, I'll buy your seashells so you can give me back my own money to pay off a house I'm selling to you. I mean, what? It's all so obvious. Our lives are fake. We should have saw it a long time ago. And then he's like, I ate 6 bags of chips last night and fell asleep with the TV on. I had real weird dreams.
He's a lazy type. Lazy types are the best. My favorite Animal Crossing villager in history is this bird named Anchovy, which is, when I wrote my review, it's like I wrote Alarda Anchovy. But Anchovy just say weird ass shit like that. Like, he was really into bugs, and he would just, like, talk about his, like, the bugs living under his house all the time. And he was just, like, the best. Like, he was just such a cool villager. And then he moved away, and it broke my heart.
Today, but he was like,
I want him to come to New Horizons so bad.
He was like, oh, I got to clean up my house. He's like, I got to clean my door because it's sticky. And I was like, what? And he's like, what, your door doesn't get sticky? He's like, I thought that was just a thing that happens. I was like, what are you saying, bro? My door does not get sticky. Like, what is wrong with your hands that your door is getting sticky?
I'm so sad. All my villagers, I feel like, are like boring so far. It's like,
yeah,
it's not.
Most of mine are boring, but then I have one that's really good. Like, this dude.
There's definitely some like concept villagers. Like, there's the one who like really likes anime, who's like trying to be an anime superstar. Mm. But then like I've got like a generic jock who's like flip. I have Plucky, who like, I don't understand what her deal is. She's just like a normal person. And then some people just moved in, but so far I've been like, man, I wish I had some more character, because none of them are like resonating with
me. That's why I got the amiibos, because I'm like, I want to, because now I'm at the point where I'm looking for new people. And I went to an island yesterday, and there was a person on there who was going to come on my island, and I was like, she seems kind of boring, I don't know if I want her on my island. I was like, oh, she, one of the options is like, come move to my island. And I was like, oh, like, cool beans. I did not choose that one. And then I looked her up, and then she's like the normal type of villager, which I feel like is what you don't want. Like, you don't want
I gotta look at that.
Yeah, It's literally like a classification of the characters. It's just like they're normal. They get along with pretty much everyone. They don't have that much to say, blah, blah, blah. But like, I like the weird. I like the cute. I like the like outgoing, friendly, whatever. And that's why I got these amiibos, man, because they have like special amiibo cards that you can
use. I have random old ones that I found in a drawer, but I don't have any good ones. I have like, I might scan in Pascal, who's like an otter who's kind of cute.
Oh, but, I like, think I know don't Pascal. Have any good one. I think I know Pascal. Yeah, so
I might scan him in, but like all my other cards I have, I think because I don't even know how I got them. I also found like Rosie, but Rosie's already in my town. But like, I'm holding up cool. my Rosie card. But yeah, like I already have Rosie living in my town, which is great. She's one of my favorites and she's so fun.
I have the Animal Crossing Villager amiibo, but and it's the first print. They did a reprint of it, but he doesn't do anything, I don't think. I feel like he should do something. Look.
What is it? Oh, it's like an actual villager.
Yeah, it's just a villager.
He's dope. I'd take him. I want that and Nook and Isabel. I feel like I never bought him and I'm just going to be
I bought sad this now. Dude like Rover or something like that. I forget what his name is.
Oh, I have a Rover toy. Rossetti. Well, I'm just going to pull out all my toys even though no one listening can see them.
This is great audio.
This is great audio.
We're looking at Amiibo. Oh shit. It's nice.
I have a Rover plush that I got at Target one day. Dear listeners, he has a big head, small body. But I miss Rover.
Classic.
I mean, that's why I'm glad I have Rosie, because Rosie's the kind of like the closest to Rover we have, really. Except she's just like a bubbly wannabe pop star.
I just checked. I have two preppy or not preppy, peppy.
Peppy.
They're just happy.
They're so Rosie's so funny and she just gets over she gets mad about stupid things and she's her dialogue stuff's so good. But yeah, I have like two other villagers I really like. I have Boots, who's an alligator jock.
Oh, I like Boots.
Boots is so funny. I love Boots. I gave him like a big pull-up bar recently. he seemed very excited about that. And because I have another jock who I don't like, Curly the pig. Ugh, I want Curly out so bad. And then who's the last one? Oh, I have Bruce. So Bruce is a deer with like shortened. He's either a deer or a goat. He has like very short antlers, but he's like an old man type. So he's just like constantly just like begrudging toward me for being a youngin and like the other villagers. And he's just, but he's also just like a nice man, you know, but it's just so funny.
A nice old man.
Everyone else seems like pretty young on my island, but he just has this very like old personality, like old and wise and grumpy. And he's so nice.
Can you kick people out?
Kind of. So you can go to I guess this is a spoiler, so I guess tune out, but there's, you could talk to Isabel in residential services when that becomes a building and complain about them, but that doesn't like mean they're gonna be like, I want to move out the next day. You just have to keep complaining about these villagers until eventually they move out.
I also
it's very annoying
heard, like if you don't talk to them that'll happen.
Yeah,
like every day if like you just ignore them.
Yeah, so like, I've been doing that and I've been complaining and none of them have moved out, and yet Jacques the bird had tried to move out the other day. I'm like, I don't want you to fucking leave, like not you, these other ones. Like I was so pissed. I was like, you're the one that wants to move out, like I like you, dude, like you're like weird.
Yeah, like I heard you were complaining about people and I don't want to be with a complainer.
I thought we were chill. Funny, bro. Like how we were just talking the other day.
Like, honestly, that sounds like how Jacques would be, because he's like a very chill bird. He has like a DJ set in his house, which I find very funny. He just has like a DJ turntable and the giant neon light, and that's his whole fucking house. I'm like, where do you sleep? I don't know.
On the floor.
Man. Yeah, it's probably.
This game owns, man. It's like, yeah, it's great. Perfect. Like, I think that's what I'm saying about this whole historical thing, is that there's no game that, oh man, Katie's holding up a Rover plushie doll that looks just super cute. And, but there's just like no game that seems to perfectly fit like your time of life or like the situation or a crisis. And it's like, it is one of the most it's one of the greatest like solves for this big crisis that we're going through right now. And I love it for it. I don't think that this game would have had the same impact on me if this was regular times. And that's just not a thing. I can't think of another time when a game has felt this relevant for like a national global situation that is affecting people in as many ways as this is, you know? It is like a game that is coming during one of the most significant events of the past, like decade, century, what have you, probably century. Like once this is all over, like no one event has affected. I think of like 9/11 or something as like, for Americans at least, is something that like had that big of an impact for such a long time. But like,
I mean, it was a war, World War II.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I mean,
like in like the past like 50 years, this is a pretty big
50 years we can say
national thing. Or like it's like, it's crazy because it's global. It's like it's happening all yes. over the world at a time when everyone's also connected.
Yes, but it's like up there with like a World War II as far as like how many people it affects, how many like, you know, how many things it's affecting, and then the fact that Animal Crossing is like such a directly connected thing to it. And it kind of seems to reach outside of video games. You know, I think over the coming weeks/months, people are going to have to start finding new hobbies. I think like video games are something that people are going to be looking to. And if we didn't have a game like this, it wouldn't have the same impact because this is like really welcoming to people, like Katie was saying earlier, that like don't typically play games, that have never really been interested in them. And people have FOMO about this shit, you know, like it's a totally new thing for video games. And I think that's a huge deal. I don't know.
Yeah. I remember I was reading something that was just talking about like, the sort of the effect that the stuff has had, all like the coronavirus stuff, about like showing sort of like what labor is necessary and like what work like matters. And one thing that a lot of people are agreeing on is that like, entertainment is actually really important, especially just like for you to like stay like satisfied and sort of excited and not just like going home and doing nothing. And that can be anything from like a book to like a movie, but like games are the biggest thing that a lot of people are pointing to right now about just like people having games and having ways to connect through games as like a shared social experience is like so big. Like the ability, I've been playing more games recently in the past like, you know, 2 weeks than I would typically play. And a lot of those games are like multiplayer with people I don't typically play multiplayer with, just because like, I don't know, people are like, I'm like texting people more. I'm like talking to people more, like just in general, just being more social and having a sort of shared social space like Animal Crossing that I can express myself in and then invite people to is like, it's so big. And it's so, especially because we just don't have that in any sort of way right now. Like it feels like it, you know, people are wearing like coronavirus masks and Animal Crossing, but it still feels like it's outside of this kind of crazy timeline that we're living in.
There's so many angles on this, and I don't know if maybe we want to kind of zoom out here to like the coronavirus crisis at like a larger level, but it feels to me like so many things are happening that are, again, just going to change the way that people see things, that it kind of switches the focus for the first time in maybe ever, that, you know, at least that I can remember, like in my lifetime. And it kind of is forcing people to re-examine the sense of like isolation/introversion that like a lot of people experience on kind of like a daily basis. There's been a lot of like talking about people. I've seen a lot of talk on Twitter about how like this is a difficult time for extroverts and like introverts should have compassion for them, blah, 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 stuff like that. But like, I just think that it's interesting that we have this time where people are being forced to, instead of like go outside, be more social, get out of their bubble, get out of their shell, which is like the typical cultural angle that we see as like somebody that's very encouraged is like to be out there and be social and blah, blah, blah. The new focus, I think, is like making the most of like having this like inherently isolated internet life where like we have to find new ways to cope with it, which can probably help a lot of people just in general. I think it's going to like open up a lot of doors. And then like a sort of sidebar, like half-baked idea is that like I feel like this is, oh God, I hope this doesn't come across in a bad way, but it's like it's encouraging a more like Asian influenced means of like connecting with other people via like the internet and stuff like that. And like one of the reasons why I say that is because, you know, if you were to go to a place like Japan, there's so many ways in which Japan uses like this technology that they're implementing in their games and stuff that is like kind of, you know, social and stuff. Maybe Pokemon Go is a good example of like one way that this happened. But like in Japan, like I remember like a Dragon Quest game released when I was visiting, and there's like hundreds of people outside of like a store in like a place where people can like interact with each other on Dragon Quest and shit like that. And that's like a very social, like virtual thing that where the two lines kind of like intersect that you wouldn't really see in the US for whatever reason, because like the normal people aren't used to like interfacing with technology or video games that way. But I feel like after this, like we might see a little bit more of that start to bleed into like Western society of like using video games this way as like a supplement to your social life. And like having those things interact where it's like bringing the introverts and extroverts like almost together in these shared virtual spaces that exist alongside and are not like completely marginalized from actual physical brick and mortar, physical social spaces.
I think I definitely feel some of that just like in the ways that like I remember playing Animal Crossing as a kid. I mean, as like a whatever, however old I was when the GameCube version came out. And like a lot of the, and I like wasn't watching a lot of anime or like reading a lot of manga at the time or anything. So just seeing like the ways that Animal Crossing characters emote, I like didn't know what they were trying to do. Like, cause they were using like very, like now that I know, like very sort of like anime styles of like expression or whatever. And it was hard for me to tell what that stuff sort of meant or just expressing in that way. Like, I think it's even why like, I think emoji as a thing took off like in Japan before it kind of hit in America. Like you had people in Japan doing like emoji, like poems and stuff like in like 2010 or something before emoji was even like a big thing. And I think that that sort of like way of emoting and stuff that Animal Crossing gives you a direct access to, or like something like Miitomo is sort of similar, but the sort of like having a digital avatar and digital self that is like an intrinsic part of your like body and identity that you can like share with other people, I think is just, it's definitely not a thing. I don't know if I would say it's like an Asian thing, but it's definitely not a thing that's like part of like at least American Western culture, where like the idea of having like it's weird for me to post my avatar of Animal Crossing like doing like a cute pose with like clothes around it that are, it likes, like that doesn't feel part of, that doesn't like fit in my Facebook feed of people. Like it's supposed to be you and your person, your actual digital self that you're creating is like some weird thing we don't talk about or something. You can't be open about that.
Exactly.
Something interesting that I think we talked about, or not we, but when I was on Retronauts, we did an Animal Crossing episode pretty recently. And we discussed how Animal Crossing came out, the first Animal Crossing came out around the same time as The Sims in the West, and how they're both kind of like very different approaches to the life simulator, kind of like this kind of like similar idea of like living life. And I feel like both have a very, they both feel very like, Animal Crossing feels very Japanese, whereas The Sims feels very Western and like sandboxy, and they're both very different and fun in very different ways. But it's like really interesting to me to like compare those two, because they both feel still like, even today, like Sims 4 is still thriving. I've seen so many people on Instagram that I follow, like friends, have picked up Sims 4 expansion packs recently because they're like, well, now I'm going to get back into The Sims because what the fuck else am I supposed to do? and same people pick up Animal Crossing. It's like, I don't know, there's like definitely value in avatars and, you know, being social in a not first person shooter type capacity, which is like the other, like I've also been playing a lot of Warzone lately because friends are all inside playing video games. It's basically Animal Crossing and Warzone are like the two multiplayer games I've been really jumping into. But yeah, there's definitely a, and I like, obviously, like, Animal Crossing is way more wholesome and way more feels like a shared experience, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't get to woohoo in Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just so much to delve through here with the social context and stuff like that. And with like the current situation that we're in right now and how much that is altering and changing the way that we interact and live in virtual spaces, that I think is like especially relevant to Animal Crossing. So I think, you know, listeners, if you have anything to add on this, if you have any ideas that have been kind of floating around in your head, we would love to hear those. We're going to give, you know, once we wrap up the episode, we'll give you the email and stuff like that. You know, we're also on Twitter, so like reach out to us there. But this is, we do want to connect with people more. And we did talk about, you know, some of this stuff last week. We're going to be rebooting our game club thing for our Patreon subscribers. And we're going to be like live streaming that. But definitely interact with us. It's a time of, I know that it could be like lonely and isolating for a lot of people out there right now. I know that a lot of people aren't used to this. A lot of people are used to it. Some people feel like they're used to it, but it's affecting them in weird ways. And you know, where Bad End has become this like community, and you know, we invite you to kind of partake in that. Like, we have our own special views and angles on things that I think are unique to us. So yeah, like, chat with us, reach out, drop us a line. We could talk about stuff on the next episode of Bad End, stuff like that. It's all stuff that we see as relevant, and especially now it's like, we're fucking bored too and isolated, you know, like, this is, you know, talking.
I'm rewatching Gossip Girl. Why? I don't know. I'm just doing it while I play Animal Crossing. I'm watching Gossip. I'm on season 3 already.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely looking forward to recording this week because it feels like it's been forever since we put out an episode. But yeah, man,
so much has changed since then. It's kind of crazy, the acceleration. Like, I'm on my 4th week. So we were self-isolating a week before San Francisco went on official lockdown. And we went on lockdown like a week before America went on lockdown or whatever. And because we're like ahead of the curve, I guess. But one of the first outbreaks was here, so I understand. And we've had like a few dozen deaths at this point. Like, nowhere near the rate at like New York. But it's still like very much all around the Bay Area. And yeah, it's been weird. It's been super weird, especially like, you know, like, I have family members who have lost their jobs because of this, and it's like weird that I cannot go to them. Like, I've had other family stuff going on. It's just been like a very inconvenient time for all this shit to be going down, you know? But you know, it's weird, but I appreciate, like, I got a lot of nice comments about my review, which I really appreciate because I've been feeling like not confident in my writing lately. So it was like a nice ego boost, I guess, or like, not ego sounds like the wrong word, but like, you know, like
confidence,
positive more confidence, affirmation, I guess, in my work. Yeah, positive affirmation. So, you know,
it's good to have, and you deserve it, certainly, Katie.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything they want to add about Animal Crossing?
No, my MacBook has weirdly been draining power, and I don't understand why, because it's plugged in. I'm just like staring at the battery like, why are you at 20%? What's going on? It's the coronavirus. It's got my computer.
Coronavirus. True virus. The only thing that I would say is that if you are listening to this and you are like, damn, it sounds fun to hang out with people in Animal Crossing, wish I had some friends that we could play with, join the Bad End Discord, because we got a lot of people who are always hanging out, opening their gates and saying hello and just running by. And that includes us. It's not like we're not part of that. So if you want to hang out with Animal Crossing, come and need a community of cool people, check our Discord out, because we're all hanging out.
Yep.
Yep.
All the time.
That does it for this week's episode. Keep an eye out for future announcements from us. We are Bad End Podcast. Again, you can find us on Twitter at Bad End Podcast. We invite you to rate us and review us on iTunes. That's really, really helpful for us. We're on Gmail at badendpod@gmail.com. We are also part of Superculture Network, which includes Bullet Points Monthly, which is like a website slash online magazine slash podcast. They just put out a bunch of stuff that's really good. They're always putting out stuff like all the time. They're doing some Kentucky Route Zero stuff. So go hang out with those folks. Shouts out to Reed McCarter and everyone else involved. And we will talk to you in a couple weeks, unless I'm forgetting. We are also on Patreon at patreon.com/badend. And that's how you would get access to the Discord. And reach out to us on Twitter and stuff like that. So we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Don't be a stranger. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay home. Play some Animal Crossing with us, potentially. And Katie's Mr. Rossetti amiibo that she's holding up.
I'm just bouncing in the air.
And we'll see you soon, guys. Bye.